Hello.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Audit and Finance Committee meeting and welcome to our new board members.
Calderon. Morning.
Dominic.
Morning. Morning.
Purpose of the Audit and Finance Committee meeting this morning is to review the 2023 Capital Center budget, the operations budget, the ABO format, and UHY engagement list, which is approved. We'll sign and get back to Duncan. So I'll turn over to Amy with Capital Center budget.
Shannon and Jennifer Coffey, who's the director of finance.
So I guess I'll stand at podium. It's here. Might as well use it. Okay. So just, I guess sort of a cliff note review of, you know, our thought process going into 2023. Obviously, we're all still waiting for those crystal balls to be delivered. It's been a very long 2 years, but we are definitely moving forward in a positive direction. Jennifer and I usually tend to be a little bit more cautious in our estimates. And I think that really only comes from how we've seen the last year sort of go up and down a little bit. Or like I said, we're definitely trending in a better direction. We're seeing a lot more events that we're used to seeing come back through. People that haven't been with us since 2019 are coming back and signing contracts, and those people are conventions and meetings. So it is definitely starting to tip a little bit in a good direction. I think, well, I don't want to call it PTSD from the last 2 years, but I think just in general, we're still just estimating a little cautiously because we're just not quite sure what the strength of those meetings will be, if they will be back in full, you know, full-fledged attendance, if they still will be at a little bit of a decreased attendance. But, you know, that's sort of the thought process that we had and the direction really that's coming from ASM. You know, where 2023 is still a little bit of in recovery and 2024 is really where we perhaps will start seeing a little bit back of what we're used to seeing. So just to give you a little background in how we, you know, got to this budget line and when we're estimating events and things like that. But I think overall, if I could hit some key points in this budget, one of the things obviously that you guys will notice, the shared employee plan in particular has been adjusted for 2023. You know, this is all happening to get us more to an independent facility where we're running, you know, with our own staff and under our own powers. However, there are still some significant cost savings in having the shared employee program and benefits of having the shared employee program, one of which obviously is finance and payroll and human resources. So some of the areas you'll see will be staying the same, while others such as Bob Belber, the marketing director, the marketing manager, and the box office manager are all shifting. Bob's contribution for ACC will go down to 10% versus the 30% that we've been contributing probably since 2017 or prior. And our marketing director, marketing manager, and box office manager will no longer be on our payroll. And that'll be a cost savings of $73,000 for those three. And having Bob shift down to 10% will be a cost savings of $58,000 for the year. So with that being said, you know, you might be asking, well, what are we going to do for marketing? You know, we have a wonderful partner in Baker PR. They have been running our PR for us since 2015 from when I started. So we have a very good relationship and we are working towards expanding their role to pick up some key parts. And then other parts that, you know, have been used for our marketing manager, such as website updates and some other general things. We're going to start to take some of those in-house. We have a very talented staff and we definitely see some areas where we can sort of absorb some of the things that have been handled perhaps by marketing in the past. So So that also leads me to probably the next line item, which is the addition of a third time or a third full-time security guard. It was always our plan to have three full-time positions, first shift, second shift, third shift. Third shift has never been a full-time position since we've started. And with staffing issues being the way they are and having, you know, a little bit of trouble getting quality staff to come through the door for part-time work, I saw the value in really making that position full-time finally, you know, offering benefits and getting us a really good key person to help us round out the staff for our command. So that'll be an added expense of $65,000. And then perhaps with some wiggle room, if they get, you know, depending on the benefit package that they choose. Again, you know, obviously we'll have some additional costs with the PR firm as we are expanding their services. We did budget a total of $60,000 for that. But at first glance, we'll probably come in a little bit under that. So that's a little bit of good news right off the bat. There's some things that are coming down the pipeline from ASM Global. They really have started to provide some robust systems for not just individuals, but all of the convention centers and arenas that they're managing. They're developing a new payroll system, a new calendar system, and a new training, you know, human resource system. So there's some additional costs that we need to absorb so that we're making sure we're staying at the top of our game in all of those areas, and making sure that our employees are getting the best training, that our payroll is accurate as possible, and, you know, that we're at the level that ASM, you know, expects our facility to manage at. The last line item that I just want to make sure that I mention is we have included a budget line of $30,000 to refinish the basketball courts. It has been quite some time since they've gotten some work done. And, you know, that's a quote that we received this year for work next year. We're hoping that we're able to accomplish that. I have a pretty aggressive schedule next year for the needs of the courts. They need a total of 3 to 4 weeks to make the refinish happen. So still trying to figure out how we're going to wiggle that. Maybe we'll do one court, you know, at a time perhaps. But that's definitely, you know, a large maintenance expense that we need to take care of, as, you know, the courts have taken care of us for the last few years. So they definitely have earned a nice little refinish, and, you know, they've done quite well. I think the investment on the authority was spot on several years ago, and it certainly has allowed us, to have so many different types of events that use it. I mean, I don't think anyone, when Doug originally presented this back in the day, thought we were going to have pickleball. You know, I don't even think that was a thought process. The original thought process was just basketball and perhaps volleyball a couple of times. And we've done so much with them. So it's time to give them a little facelift. But that line item is in there as well. So if I could just review then, we are conservatively estimating next year at 190 events. And event income is sitting at $1,100,635. Overall budget, we're looking at a net income after other income, other expenses at $1,308,798. That's trending obviously better than 2022. It's really challenging to predict where utilities are going to go, where some of these, you know, unfixed costs are going to lead us. And, you know, with reaching out to ASM and trying to get some guidance, it's been challenging even for them to give us some guidance on that front. Everyone's thinking that next year, things at least will start to even out. We won't have these ebbs and flows like we're seeing. You know, electrical 1 month is $24,000, the other month is $36,000. So, you know, that's where they're seeing the trends. So Jennifer has done a great job of putting a line item and estimate in for utilities, especially for next year at our best guess possible. So I think that's all the main points in the budget that I wanted to hit, but I certainly can open the floor if anyone has any further questions. Sure.
Clarify rental income and service income.
Sure. So rental, meaning what, where those sources come from? Sure. So rental income is the hard cost that we charge clients per our contract to, you know, rent the space, so to speak. That rental usually includes the use of our inventory. In some cases, it may include setup and breakdown. Other cases, it may not. When an event is more labor intensive, we'll charge for those additional services. And that's where that service income comes in. The service income is when we charge for rigging, stage hands, security staff, guest services, you know, those charges usually are in place for our public shows. Perhaps they're in charge for some associations that do larger productions like NYSIT or PEF or some of the other groups that we've seen that come through and do a much larger production and or require 2,000 seats to be set up upstairs. Mm-hmm. That's really where the difference is on those two sides, if that helps.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And definitely for 2023, I have been probably the most aggressive I ever have since the start in raising costs. We found collectively our team, it really is the right time for us to do that. We've taken care and been very good to our clients through this, you know, this time. And, you know, we've gotten very, very positive feedback where people understand, yeah, you haven't raised my costs in a couple of years. It makes sense. So I think that will definitely show, a big difference for 2023. We've also shifted the majority of our, clients to either $8 or $10 for parking. So that will definitely, impact, some positive revenue sources for next year as well. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask, you mentioned caution in making projections for next year. Can you walk us through a little bit how you arrived at those projections?
Sure. The 190 and
what's the thinking behind, you know, with the cost increases, but then the bookings that you've already taken, have you gotten to your projections for your?
Yeah. So I think, you know, in taking a look at this, it really is really taking a deeper dive into what we're seeing this year. What we've seen in 2019, because that's really the last year I can give a decent comparison to, and sort of finding a better middle ground. I think all of us thought that the first quarter of this year was not going to be as quiet as it was. And I think that's why we had predicted in the, you know, over the 200 events, because we thought we were going to sort of get back to it and everyone was going to be ready. That didn't happen to be the case. We lost several months and even more so depending on the variant and how it was going. So I think we took a look at 2019, which we were at, I think, 218 events. And then we looked at this year where we're around 140. I hope to be around 160 or end the year around 160. That's my hope or goal. And then, you know, we sort of sat there and chatted and took a look at what was already on the books, took a look at what was pending, and just did a deeper dive into what perhaps, you know, that number would look like. The good thing or bad thing, depending on, you know, how you look at it, is the types of events, as I mentioned, that are coming through are more of our conferences. So they're taking over more days in the calendar. So while our number is a little bit more conservative and down versus, you know, prior, the types of events that we're having is more of what we're used to and accustomed to. So I'm no longer filling, you know, sort of hustling to fill the calendar with six or seven events. I have, you know, some months where I have three or four huge ones that are two or three or four days. So that's really how our calendar is starting to fall. And that's reminiscent of 2019. You know, that's reminiscent of when I had these one day shows coming or these one day smaller conferences or board meetings, perhaps I don't have the space for them. And that's what starts that compression process. And that's what we get excited to see, because that's the whole point of, you know, why we're here. And so, you know, see that, you know, very, I'm going to call it a light trend. But to see that trend start to come into 2023 is exciting. Okay. And I think all of those things, in tandem with, you know, looking at expenses and, looking where food costs are going, you know, knowing that that's going to be an ever-changing world, I think, for another couple of years too. That's what helped us, you know, hone in on these numbers.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Anything else, guys?
No. I have a random question on the court.
Go for it.
what is a refinish? Is it painting as well?
Yeah. So it's like refinishing your floor in your home. So they'll strip all the wax down on the top. they'll repaint all the stripes out. We perhaps could change a color or add a logo or something at that time. And then, you know, the wax and everything else would go up on top. And then there's drying time and all that sort of good stuff.
So I asked the assembly member if we had our logo on the court, since we went through a new branding within the last year, maybe it's fitting that we do put our logo on the court.
I think it's a wonderful suggestion. We definitely can take a look at it and see what the options are for placement of logo and things like that. And I think it's a wonderful suggestion. I mean, they're, you know, they're our home courts. We've never really had, even the basketball teams that come through don't really have any problems with our colors or anything like that. So I definitely think it's something we can consider if you guys are interested.
Couple of things. The courts that we purchased had only been sanded once.
Mm-hmm.
And typically a floor can suffer through 3 to 4 sanding.
Yeah.
So we've still got quite a bit of life. This would only be the second time. It gives a chance to update the lines so we can take into account more of these different events that we have. So all of that is good. One thing about the logo that we've looked at in the past, and this goes back to the previous GM, is we might have to have a removable logo only because there may be times where it has to be covered. Mm-hmm. So we might have to have stickers that we could apply and then take up, because NCAA comes in and says you can do certain things.
Yep.
The MAC may say something else. There may be different requirements. Yep. So the idea of having the logo is on the table, no pun intended, and looking forward to it, but we may have to restrict its use.
Yeah.
Might not be able to paint it in. Might have to have it as an applique.
But I definitely think it's something we can look into and see. Yeah, to see what the process is. And
you want us to step on it? Okay.
Yeah. You know, for the majority, I would say for the majority of our events, I don't think they would have any issue with the logo. But to Duncan's point, you are correct. NCAA is a totally different nut to crack.
Well,
there.
Picking up on what you said, the dry time, the sand time, the correct time, if we had to change the logo at the last minute
and force
a dry time and ready for an event, you know, if we could have it quickly removable, that's the type, it just gives us more flexibility.
Yep. Understood. Anything else? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next we'll do operations budget for ACCA.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you, Shannon, for the presentation of that. As Shannon mentioned, you know, the numbers are starting to get back to some sense of normalcy, and that's also reflected in the operations budget, beginning with the revenue portion, which is primarily built on the hotel occupancy tax, which for 2023 we're budgeting at $3.8 million. This number is in alignment with Discover Albany. Then moving down to expenses, we have salaries, which includes a 2.5% increase for COLA. Fringe benefits, admin, and professional fees are fairly static with last year's budget, with small increases to FICA, New York State retirement, and insurance. The one addition to the budget this year is the ACCA share of the ESP walkway operations. We're budgeting $120,000 for that this year, and I think Duncan wanted to.
I can expand upon that a little bit. As some of you are aware, there are ongoing discussions between the county and the state regarding the shared services of a three-way agreement, possibly, you know, to maintain and operate the walkway. Right now, it's not covered by an agreement anymore. So in anticipation of successful discussions, we decided that we should put a line item in there, line item 6500, I believe, on the page that you have in front of you. Working with ASM, we estimated the maximum cost allowing for utilities, which is a pretty big swing, would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000 to $330,000 per year. A third of that being $360,000 would be the outside range. A third of it would be $120,000. So we carried $10,000 a month, feeling that that would cover the swings that we really don't know about utilities and what changes and so on and so forth. And it would cover security, our share of it, along with the share of the cleaning. But it's in anticipation of successful discussions, which have begun with an exchange of letters between OGS and the county, which perhaps Mr. Lynch may want to comment on, but, you know, a positive start to what we hope is a successful discussion and ultimately that we get to share in the costs of maintaining the facility. It's an important arterial, that artery that connects the MVP Arena and Empire State Plaza and this facility, and it's used all the time. So
needs to be safe, needs to be clean, needs to be accessible. And as the county set a very good example of how it could be in the area that it renovated from South Pearl Street through to the knuckle, what we refer to the knuckle, which is the intersection of Beaver and Wendell Streets. If it were finished that way for its entire length, it would be much more user-friendly, heated, enclosed, conditioned, safer. And unfortunately, it's not that way now.
And to, you know, just update the board, even for the intermediate, you know, even though it's the chamber dinners tonight, we've taken the last 2 days to send a crew through. And we've taken everything from pillows to needles to, it's an amazing amount of stuff that has been in there. So
in its current condition, it serves multiple populations. Yeah. And while we certainly understand that, particularly as weather gets cooler or when the weather's very hot, people are looking for shelter. But unfortunately, we've had to turn the power off in the Empire State Plaza walkway because people were charging their phones there. That in itself, not a problem, but they're also running small unit heaters during the cold weather, potential fire hazard, any number of things. And then as Shannon indicated, there are other behaviors there, which she's not included, but some she has, that we're constantly cleaning up after and be prepared, because there's an underserved or not served homeless population or street population currently that's using a shelter.
So I guess the question that would, you know, to Dan or to Duncan, is there going to be a commitment of the capital improvement there?
That we don't know.
So where we're at right now, which has been many months in the making, is an open dialogue between the three parties. And happy to say that I've had conversations with Council's Office of General Services, which is leading to some further discussions, a recent exchange within the last week or so of a letter back and forth between Council's office and my office. So I feel like it's moving in the proper direction. The new Commissioner of General Service also walked the stretch with Duncan, and I believe Bob.
Yes.
And maybe in May or June of this year.
Spent an hour with us.
Yeah.
Which extraordinary considering the amount of time.
I believe there is some commitment there from the state. I don't know to what degree.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start those discussions hopefully sooner rather than later.
Right. Is there an estimate of does everybody have an agreement of what we'd like to see?
I think there's, Dan, not speaking for the county or the state in this case, but our casual discussions, I think we have a consensus of what we'd like it to look like. That is to say, I use the example of what the county did very successfully from South Pearl through to the Knuckle.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's been any discussion of cost. Now, OGS was working on some estimates at one point in time. I don't know whether they've updated those to reflect the current environment, which is not a buyer's environment right now at all. Not for construction.
Yeah, I'm unaware of any
cost. So I don't have a number on it. But it's
it's going to be a significant
capital
project.
Yeah.
It also may be the type of stage thing. You know, again, we talked about the first and foremost, make sure that it's safe and it's kept clean and controlled. So if we could come to a point of some form of a three-way agreement where those costs were shared and that the duties were assigned, that would be a good start and some of the other things can fall into place. Because I don't think there's any design that exists for it. So that would have to go through design and construction and OGS, I presume. But we took it to be a very good start, encouraged by that. And we felt that this was a good faith gesture on the part of the authority, providing that the board concurs in planning for what we hope to be an agreement in place this coming year, perhaps before, I don't know. I mean, the wheels are turning now, Dan. I don't know, you know, how fast, but we've come from a period where there was no discussion about it.
Correct. Where we are right now is definitely a better spot than where we had been.
I agree. So as to the amount, we try to anticipate that which is unknowable. And, you know, we're all seeing stories in paper and on the internet on a daily basis of what they think heating costs are going to be this winter and electric costs and so on and so forth. So it's the best guess we could come up with. I think the core costs of cleaning and things like this are more predictable. I look to Shannon, you know, that those are pretty much knowable. Having gone through the experience over the last couple of days, we know what a general clean is. Then they'll have deep cleans on a periodic basis, you know, make sure the windows and things like this are kept up. But, you know, those are known and they are less than what we have shown there. The rest of it is all the utilities and the unknowns.
Okay.
It is important to note that we did not anticipate capital expenditures or repairs in our budget. My opinion is that the authority, looking at the resources we have available to us, which are limited to event revenue against hotel hotel tax sources against costs, that we don't have the capacity as an authority with no other sources, the inability to bond, unless it were for hotel bonds, we have very limited our bonding capacity, that we would not be in a position to support either capital improvements or major capital repairs. So the budget you have in front of you anticipates typical maintenance items, minor escalator repairs, inspections, things like that. Same thing for elevators and the cleaning. Security costs, those associated utilities of the heating and the lighting. Miss anything, Shannon, Jennifer?
I think you covered it quite well.
Those are the things we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so we move down to count 7,000. This is the ASM budget line that was presented by Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And it also includes the incentive pay in December of 100,000. At the bottom, we are convert the budget to a cash basis by adding back in the non-cash expenditures of depreciation. This gives us a change in net assets of 1.78 million before reserve and capital improvement requirements per the operator's agreement. We budgeted the required funding of the reserves of $1 million, as well as the required capital improvements, which are $500,000 and include improvements to the stairs, roof access, HVAC, kitchen upgrades. And that's it.
Amy, if I may add to that, we're also anticipating some significant set-asides for 2024. We're on borrowed time on the carpet. We gained some time because during the pandemic, we did not use the carpets to the same extent. And importantly, they weren't clean because carpet use isn't necessarily where the wear and tear comes from. It's from the cleaning and the dirt inside it, pulling it out, and it going back in. So we had fewer cleanings during that period of time, less use. So we gained a little bit of time. Typically, carpets are about a 5-year life expectancy for a facility this type. So we postponed that with under ASM's guidance to 24, but we've got to have some money set aside. As we all know, there's a lot of plastic, there's a lot of oil in carpets. So with the price of oil being up, we're anticipating we're using today's prices and going forward, because that's the best information we have at this time. So yes, we are anticipating some capital expenditures next year. Some of them are flexible as to what we invest in. We've set money aside, 500,000, but we're also putting money in a fund toward the major capital replacement, which would be the carpet in 24. Probably the latter part of 24, from what Shannon's told me, that, you know, there might be a window in August.
I gotta find some time.
I'm sorry?
I gotta find some time.
The problem now.
Yeah, it'll, and to Duncan's point before about the walk with phases, we'll probably end up doing something similar with the carpet where we'll, you know, if we have to, we'll phase it.
Yeah, the good thing is we can store it here. We can buy it in bulk, take advantage of the buying power of ASM, which is much greater than was SMG. And probably put us in a better position than we were when we were buying it as the construction manager, through the construction manager and as the holder of the contracts. So it should be very competitive. And we can store it. We have to store a significant amount of attic stock anyway. These are all 3x3 pieces that come up. So when there's a stain that can't be removed or there's a tear or something else that renders it unsafe or unusable or unsightly, they get pulled up and tossed. And we maintain inventory of, I think it's 5 different types of carpet. These are actually 5 separate types here. So we'll do the same thing and then install it as we can. The big issue will be the multipurpose room upstairs, because that's difficult to do in stages because oftentimes it's used in its entirety.
Duncan, how much of that project do you anticipate that the 280 would cover? Would that end up
how much what? I'm sorry.
How much of the carpet project would the 280 in reserve cover? Do you anticipate that we're going to need to stockpile more in 24?
No, I think that we'll be able to cover it. If we can put that away in 23, we should be all set for 24. That's the hope. And with the stabilization of hotel tax predicted, should be a pretty good position to something. And then the other thing we can do is we can hold back on our investments next year. If we see that that's lagging because 24 is so important, then we may have to go back to Shannon and say, okay, there's some things that we've said we would like to do, but we might hold off on. And I think that's got to be fungible. We've got to wait on that, see how we do.
Good.
Good.
The ABO budget form, is Bill, you can comment on that.
I can. I mean, what ABO requires us to do is look back a year and then look forward four for a total of five. So the document that's in front of you, which is under tab four, with a holdout, looks at 21 out through 26. This is a document that Amy puts together and then files with ABO, as required to be filed by tomorrow close of business, along with the ACCA budget. And the only changes year over year really are the addition of note number nine, where we've indicated this non-operating expenditure, the one that we just spoke about concerning the ESP walkway. The rest of it pretty much represents what we do on a yearly basis. You can see in the outlying years, beginning next year through 26, that we have under note nine, other operating expenses carried to 120.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for the purpose of ABO, we are representing that future commitment. As far as the commitment you're making today, it is for the budget for next year, FY23. This is just a series of projections that satisfy ABO's need to look at a five-year window of operations.
Thank you.
Do you have anything, Amy, that you need to add to that? Things we...
No, I don't think.
Because those are really, that's really the only change, right?
Right.
Year over year?
Yeah. Okay.
And next, we have the UHY engagement letter, which everyone has in front of them.
Yeah. That would be under tab five. We have the annual audit, in this case, for fiscal year 22. We enter an engagement letter for the newer board members. We enter an engagement letter in the fall, early winter of the year of the audit, which puts us in the biggest good position because then they're hired. This is a year when there's going to be a change in auditor. Alex Zhang has been the auditor for 5 years. Every 5 years required to change. So Brian Kearns, person you're familiar with, who's been assisting the chair of the audit, will be taking over as lead auditor. And I believe that's reflected in this letter. The commitment is consistent with each year in the past. There are some minor changes to GAAP and GAS and some of the other public authority requirements. They seem to have taken that into account. But it doesn't appear that the audit's going to be any more complicated. It's been remote the last couple of years. I suspect that they're going to continue that because it's been very successful. So there'll be fewer meetings, and that's been reflected in a lower cost each year. So our audit costs have actually gone down, not just as a percentage of the total, but our commitment has been reduced. I feel very comfortable working with UHY. They've been very consistent. Brian has been part of every audit from the beginning. Well, this would be a very smooth transition.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with what they're asking.
Any other questions? So at this point, Rob, do we need a motion to recommend approval of the budgets at the regular meeting?
Right.
Do we need a motion to approve the letter, the engagement letter, or?
Yeah, we should do for this meeting here, we should do one recommendation for the full board to approve all the budgets. And then also a separate one, a recommendation to approve the an execution of the audit engagement letter. And then the full board on the budgets will have to do individual motions and votes on each budget.
So at this point, I'll take a motion first to recommend approval at the regular meeting of the...
Moved.
Second.
Two budgets.
We heard.
and a motion to recommend approval of the UHY engagement letter.
Second.
I'm sorry, who offered?
Sarah, Dan.
Sarah.
Thank you.
And I don't think there's any other business at this point.
Motion to adjourn.
So I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So be it.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, your second packet of the day. The agenda for the board meeting. And first order of business, and welcome to you all, but first order of business is the approval of the meeting minutes for April. Can we take them both together, Bob?
Yes.
And July.
Motions.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Dom.
Dom cannot, because Dom was not on the board.
Well, he wasn't on the board.
Just, the record will just reflect two abstentions.
Yeah.
The two board, okay. New board meeting.
It was a good practice, though. Dom.
Yeah.
It's good to see the mics working.
Oh. He's really excited to be here.
Okay. We could tell.
Steve, do you want to do treasurer's report?
And before I turn the actual report over to review by Amy, we did make a couple of changes, which Duncan noted in the email we sent it out. Up until now, on the assets statement, we were only comparing the year-to-date numbers were compared to the end of the year of the previous year.
Right.
So I felt it would be a good idea to add another column or another page to show us how we compare from year to date to the year to date from the previous year. And no specific reasons other than I think it's a good thing that put in front of you guys so we have that information available. And on the statement of revenue, up until now, we have not compared the current year to anything in the previous.
Mm-hmm.
So we added a column to Joe.
So in this case, on the first page that you have, there's column L all the way to the right. That it's the first item. And then on the third page, we've divided its column W all the way to the right, just for reference purposes. So
it'll give us a better idea, especially as we move on in years, mm-hmm. How we can compare ourselves to it wasn't on the previous year. Although it'll make more sense, it'll mean more as we go forward, because we're comparing us now to kind of pandemic years, doesn't tell us a lot. But it'll be there from here on.
Okay, everybody in agreement with that?
Amy.
Thank you, Steve. So as Steve mentioned, the first report is really just for informational purposes, so you can see the year-to-date comparison through August. So we'll start with the second page, statement of net assets, August compared to December of 2021. For August, our cash position was $4.6 million, which includes the cash at ASM. Receivables, $540,000. Other current assets were at $987,000, giving us a total current assets of $6.1 million. Total capital assets were $70 million, giving us total assets of $76 million. Pretty close to last year's difference of $355,000. Down to liabilities and equity, total accounts payable through August was $143,000. We had accrued expenses of $143,000 also. Our total current liabilities were $1.3 million. Total equity, $74.8 million, giving us total liabilities of $76.2 million. Anyone have any questions on this?
In line 34, what's the reason for such a huge difference there? Deferred inflow of resources?
What line?
Line 34. Am I on the?
I don't see you on 34.
He's not on the wrong page.
You're back in the liabilities.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. 34, 2801, deferred inflow of resources.
Are you on the August versus December or August?
I'm on August 31 of 22 versus 21.
Page one. Your
Page one. That's an entry that UHY does at the end of year. So once we get to December it will be more in line.
What this points out is some of the challenges, because the accounting method, Amy, stop me because I'm out over my skis on this, but it's an accrual method, but there are cash impacts, because when events are reconciled, affects our cash flow. When we receive the hotel tax is not consistent with quarters. You know, there's a different quarterly system. Their quarter is as you know, the last quarter.
Goes into the next year.
Yeah, it goes into the next year. The first quarter goes in next year, starts in the last year. So it's December, January, February, as opposed to January, February, March. So there are those things that impact this. So along the way, UHY makes these entries, provides this information. But part of that's because we're trying to balance cash and accrual. And this is an accrual function that will not be reconciled until the end of the year. So you're going to see some exaggerated numbers in the far corner.
Right.
Or excuse me, the far column, I meant to say. And that's what Steve was alluding to before. But going forward, we're going to be able to see a balance in that, we hope.
Thank you.
No, no problem. It does jump out a little bit, though.
Yeah. Well, 1,300% increase is pretty significant.
You forgot the 57.65. What?
Okay.
I think we're on to revenue.
Yep, on to revenue. So for the month of August, the Albany Capital Center operating revenues was $70,000. Year to date, it's $781,000. And you can see quite a big difference compared to last year, which was $210,000. Operating expenses for the Capital Center were $235,000 for the month, and year to date were $1.6 million. That was versus a budget of $1.6 million, so we're pretty close to budget on that. So the total loss for August for Capital Center was $165,000. Year to date is $906,000. Again, compared to last year, which was $1.1 million, we're doing better. Down to the authority, total operating revenues were $250,000. Majority of that is just the accrual for hotel occupancy tax. Year to date is $2.2 million versus last year to date, which was a little over $2 million. Total operating expenses for the month were at $226,000. Year to date, $1.8 million compared to last year. We're doing better on the expense side, giving us a total net income for the authority at $23,000 for the month, $455,000 for the year, compared to $180,000 last year. That's attributable to the hotel occupancy tax doing better. And last year's also included the shuttered venue grant. So the total net loss for August was $141,000. Year to date was $450,000, which again is much better than the $985,000 we saw last year in August.
And to your point, the $985,000 loss reflected that shuttered venue grant that we received too.
Right.
So right. It would have been worse.
Would have been worse. Right.
So yeah. Our comparative year over year is better than what's showing here, because we would have had farther to go had we not received that shuttered venue grant of
$627,000. Correct.
Wow. We are proof that we're coming out of debt time.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And to the point of the budget that we presented, and it's showing here as well, what we're seeing, while we're not at stabilization where we thought we might be during 20, and certainly Q1 of 20 suggested we would have hit stabilization in 2020. Basically 3 years, which is pretty aggressive. Usually it's 3 to 5 years. We certainly are entering a more stabilized environment. Now, the last quarter this year for the hotel tax is going to be very telling, as will event revenues. Fortunately, we've had some improvement that you're going to be reporting on in the October meeting. Seeing some holiday parties commit, which is great. Hadn't committed, but the booking window remains very
very tight, and that works both ways. Yes, we're coming. No, we're not. So still a factor.
Duncan, if yes. I could ask, with regard to, you made reference to that grant. Is there like a spot where I can ascertain how many grants you received, or is it just?
We only received one grant.
Only one grant?
One grant. It was a lump sum, and it was based on an application that we made to the Shuttered Venue Program with ASM, which the state determined we were eligible for. We had been informed by the state previously we were not, that some of the other programs we were not eligible for, but this was through Small Business Administration, right. If I remember correctly. Okay. And so it was a federal grant for Shuttered Venue. And what we put together was essentially those costs that we experienced to stay open and keep the employees here.
Sure. And what was the amount?
$627,000. And it showed up in last year's audit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just thought that if it showed up on here, it would show the differential.
Yeah.
The bigger differential, so that you can see how it just plays out.
It is. It's in the year to date August.
Oh, is it?
2020. The columns over to the right.
Yep.
On.
Okay,
I know. Column W, you'll see.
It's
under operating revenue, line
4901 on the third page.
Got it.
Under operating revenues, we showed that.
Okay,
so had we not received that, mm-hmm. the loss would have been that much greater.
Okay.
So the difference between where we would have been and where we are now would have been greater.
Okay.
So we've made some strong recovery moves, no question.
Okay. That's it. Great. Now we just need to pass everything. So we'll start taking motions on.
Under tab 4, there are the resolutions associated with those recommendations to come out of the Audit and Finance Committee. Bob prepared these resolutions, pardon me, beginning with 08.
Right, the first one, 08-22, which would be the ASM budget.
We have a motion.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Resolution 09-22.
Correct. This is the authority's operations budget.
I have a motion, please.
Motion. Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Resolution 10-22.
And this is the
ABO.
ABO 5-year projected budget.
Motion. Please.
Steve?
Nope.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And resolution number 11-2022.
Yes, this is the auditor's engagement letter.
Okay, Dan, a motion? Second?
Second.
Second, Sarah. Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Tab 5 is a carryover again due to a lack of quorum last time. And it is resolution 12 having to do with, thank you very much, record retention policy.
Oh, we still beating that one.
Yeah, we're required to have a record retention policy pursuant to the arts and cultural affairs law. And we did adopt one in 2008. And we adopted, they have different definitions for different schedules. We fit into the definition at the time of a miscellaneous public authority. We were contacted recently by SHPO, who said, oh, we've made some changes to the definitions. You'll now be under the definition of a regular state agency. And basically was contacting us to see if that would cause any problems. It doesn't cause any problems. We have limited types of records. And so we have to now adopt sort of repeal our adoption of the record retention policy for miscellaneous public authorities, adopt the general schedule for state agencies, and generally won't have any impact on our operations because certain materials are lifetime, such as board resolutions and reports. Once we maintain them here for a while, once we have no use for them, we would send them up to the state archives. Everything else, there's a various schedules for 3 years, 4 years, et cetera. The longest is really 6 years, and it corresponds with, you know, contract law of you know, suits on contracts going back 6 years. So you would keep all contracts for 6 years in any event. So the longest retention schedule is roughly 6 years.
Okay.
Motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Sarah, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Two more quick items of business. Behind that resolution is the proposed schedule for fiscal year 23. So if you could look at that, get back to me and let me know. And then the other item is a copy that's in front of you. It's not in the booklet, it's separate. And that is the confidential contact list that's shared with council and among the board members. It is complete, but it does not include the Palmeron's information because we just joined. So if you can let me know if any of that information needs to be changed or corrected, and then when you get a chance to give me what information you will share only with the board and council, that would be great. But I gave you a physical copy in case you want to mark anything up, and or you can send it to me by email at some other point. And then if we could plan on having this schedule reviewed and then have it on the agenda for the October meeting, that would be great. Then we can send out the invitations for next year, so it's on everyone's calendars.
Okay.
Those are the only operations things that we really have at this point.
Michelle mentioned, last night I was on the phone with the governor's office, and it appears our final member will be approved probably in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Definitely before Election Day is what I was told.
Great.
By the actual person, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So it's good to have the whole team together.
Yeah.
Huh? You hear that, Dominic?
Appreciate that. Sorry I couldn't be there in person.
Well, you'll be a senior member by that time.
Yeah. Show them the ropes.
Yeah.
I'll teach them the handshake.
All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Dan, thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, see? Basic thing. They don't call this quick. Beautiful.
Ooh.